Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fedge. Did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
It's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. This is The Fetch, and you are live inside the eye. Today's date is Saturday, March the 3rd, 2018, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh is actually quite a comfortable day, hitting a high of about 75 degrees right now. We're sitting as of just sunset of just a few minutes ago. We're sitting at what? I don't know, something like 71 degrees. So it's really, really nice. Got winds about 7 miles per hour out of the southeast. And overall, just sunny skies, just a beautiful day today. We're going to be going down to what? Let's see what the morning low is going to be tomorrow. It looks like we're going to go down to 55 degrees in the hour before sunrise, and throughout the useful part of the evening, looks like we're going to be around 60 degrees, which is going to be about 1 o'clock in the morning here. So very, very nice weather for sure. And yeah, good. Thank you, everybody. So yeah, very, very nice weather. And again, thanks for the feedback over there. We're going to be pretty much same old again, a little bit of a rising temperature over the next few days. But for the most part, here in Riyadh, it's going to be in the 70s, lower 80s, and then we're going to hit maybe 90, 92 by next weekend, but that's not expected to last. We're not getting that. We're getting the tease of the summer months now where we're hitting the 90s, but we are not getting it to sustain. I don't know the folklore around these parts. There's actually a folklore about the man who sold his jacket too soon, and it has to deal. Excuse me while I drink some coffee, folks. Has to deal with this idea of people selling their winter clothes before the winter is really over. And so what happens here is it gets a little deceptive. You'll get a few days in the 90s. Next thing you know, you're almost down to freezing again. And so there's that old folklore story about the old man who sold his jacket too soon, meaning that he just really wasn't prepared to stick it out through the final part of the winter. And now he's stuck in a bad situation because he doesn't have enough clothing to actually stay warm through the balance of the winter. But, you know, winter is really coming to a draw or to a close now pretty quickly. We've only got a few weeks to go, really, before winter ends. But that's not really relevant, I guess, for the people of Britain, where you've got still lots of snow and ice warnings throughout the UK. Looks like the kids are out there having fun now, sledding around. Authorities warn that the rail travelers and drivers should expect ongoing disruptions, even as temperatures rose above freezing for the first time in a few days. Heathrow Airport warned travelers to check with airlines before arriving at the airport. So if you're listening, you might want to do that, everybody. Two hospitals in southwest England continue to appeal for 4x4 drivers to help get essential staff to work, saying that icy roads still posed a problem. There are thousands in the UK still without power, and flood warnings remain for some coastal regions. The Met Office said that temperatures are likely to inch up to 7 degrees Celsius. That's 44 degrees Fahrenheit in the southern city of Plymouth. So they're starting to see a little bit of warmer weather, but they've had quite a chill blow through the UK recently. Meanwhile, across the English Channel, the big chill, as they call it right now, froze the canals in the Dutch capital of Amsterdam. So that means that you had ice on the historic Prinsengracht Canal, which was thick enough for residents to lace up their skates and glide across it, across the surface. How cool is that? I mean, I would love to do that, quite frankly. Live in a city where your canals freeze over, put your ice skates on, and just kind of cruise down the canal. That's faster than walking. That's for darn sure. So what a lot of fun time. I love winter, folks. Winter is a great time of year. I know it's a bit expensive for the traveling and the heating bills and things like that. But you got to love snow. You got to just love the way that ice comes down and just coats everything white. And I know everybody, you know, we in the European civilization, we've been instructed now that snow, that's right, even snow is politically incorrect and probably is racist. You know, Mother Nature had a very racist tone when she created the idea of snow. So you know how the leftist nutcakes are out there in the world today. Now, I was just out all week. I was at what is called the AFED convention here in Riyadh, and it's called the Armed Forces Exposition for Diversifying Their Supplier Base. There was something like 80,000 items were on display, not on display, not all 80,000, but some 80,000 items were going up for bid, basically taking that business away from U.S. companies and European companies, for that matter, and trying to diversify the supplier base here in Saudi to create jobs for their people. Mind you, that's not a bad thing, guys. If governments are creating jobs for their people, that's not a bad thing. I had meetings and discussions with Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop, British Aerospace, and major heavyweights here like Technia. Sabic had a great actually discussion with Sabic. Aramco, Saudi Aramco. Really, a lot of key players here were present. And so I worked the darn show for 4 days, 5 days, really had a lot of good high-level meetings here about future plans going on inside of Saudi Arabia. And the excitement somewhat is there. Now, as I was leaving today, I just left the facility about 5:15 this afternoon and rushed home. Got home just 10 minutes ago, quite frankly, to try to get set up for the radio show. But as I was there, one of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or the commander for the Saudi ground forces was there. He's from the House of Saud. There was quite a festivity. They had marching bands coming through, military marching bands, that would be. They had really this guy had like he was like, locally, it's like a rock star. Personally, as you know, we Americans, it's not that big a deal. But nonetheless, he did have some, you could see the energy coming off these guys. You know, it's interesting. If you guys are ever around power, powerful people, they do carry about them a type of energy and a type of charisma. It's hard to quantify, but you can certainly feel it as they walk by if you're attuned to what is going on. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but you can actually feel it. It's rather a fascinating phenomena. So he was cruising around. I got some pictures in. I didn't get pictures with him, but I got some pictures in of him and some people that, you know, of interest to us. So it was really quite an interesting show. If you've never been to one of these trade shows that has to deal with defense or military weapons or anything of that nature, you might want to look into it. It's actually quite good stuff just to get yourself educated. I learned quite a bit today and all throughout the week. So we had quite a lot of fun for sure as we visited the show here today. All right, you can join us in the chat room, everybody, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. And I'm heading over there now, everybody. And it's now loading the page. You just click on the live chat button up there on the menu bar. That gets you over there. You'll see my buddy One Eye sleeping up a storm over there. And now we are there. I got Road Dogger, Wolfgang, Fake War, White Devil, 1970. That's a new name, so welcome. Uncle Douchebag, Blackbird is there. So already humming along. Saturdays are a great time to catch the chat room for sure. And so definitely give us a shot over there to say hello and see what else is going on. And lots of good information come through the chat room when a show of this nature comes on. So it's very, very good. What can I say? Good morning. I guess I can say good morning, right, everybody? It's telephone lines. If you'd like to call in, get in early. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. And we're going to have a guest in hour number two, Alison Chablot. She is the gal from the UK that's being targeted by the Committee for Anti-Semitism, or Committee Against Anti-Semitism, or Against Anti-Semitism, or something. It's basically a troll operation by a couple Jewish goons from us, as observing from the outside. These guys are thugs. I mean, these are literally Jewish thugs. That's our observation, again, from the outside. But inside of the UK, these thugs carry at least some weight. They're able to bring trials, and they're able to bring charges against people. And that obviously is not a great thing. So we're asking people to obviously try to make it out to the Westminster Courthouse tomorrow to support Alison Chablot and really support your own interest as to preserving your ability to speak freely in the face of Jewish tyranny. And so it's very, very important that you get out there. You know, there's been a lot of complaints to me recently, and they're all valid, by the way, about Jewish organizations like Facebook and YouTube and then Twitter, which isn't necessarily Jewish, but works hand in hand with the ADL and the SPLC. And what is happening here is these anti-American Jewish organizations, like the ADL and the SPLC especially, what they've done is they're creating algorithms on behalf of, or in line or in collaboration with, Facebook, which is a Jewish, let's be honest, Facebook is a Jewish intel gathering site. YouTube, which is essentially now being super censored by Jews, I guess, within the company. And then, of course, Twitter, which is also censored quite heavily in favor of Jews and their agenda of bigotry, hatred, whatever you want to call it, in the way they use their language. So they've created this idea called an online hate index. And it's imagine that our entire civilization is being dominated or suppressed by a hyper criminal gang stalking type of operation like the ADL or the SPLC. Folks, these guys spy on you. They go back and they monitor what you said 10, 5, 6 years ago. And should you ever get into a position of some type of influence, they've run your entire history and say, this person said this about Jews in 2005. They must be terminated. They must apologize. They must bow down to us Jews now, or else you must terminate them. You know, it's like, guys, this is a tyranny. There's a battle really waging. It's just like swirling around us now for control of political thought, political opinion, political ideas. It's become absolutely unconscionable that our major corporations like a YouTube, like a Twitter, like a Facebook that have garnered so much monopoly power are able to participate in the political process, because that's exactly what they are doing. When you have essentially a utility like Facebook, like Twitter, like YouTube, that are engaging and taking sides inside of the political spectrum. They are no longer corporations serving the public interest. They are corporations serving a specific interest or a special interest. And when it becomes clear that Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are clearly coming down on the side of foreign powers like Israel, like the cosmopolitan internationalists, like the Jewish power structure inside of America, then we know, as Americans, as British, as Germans, as Swedes, as a united European group, that we have a very serious enemy working within our midst. And quite frankly, since these still remain from a, let's just call it demographic, still, they remained our majority positions, we should make it an absolute priority to do whatever is necessary to smash the ability of corporations to control in the flow of ideas. It is high time that the people that are making these decisions start feeling the heat decisions, and that the investor book start the heat decisions against we. Everyone who are interested in the preservation of your nation states, really, it's time real serious this into our plainly guided. Every day, they brag about it, and it's uncomfortable that we continue to feel what this treasonous fifth vibes in our midst, and some obviously have to. You know, I love Parkland shoot. It's still on. Okay, yeah. In the studio, you might want to reset. We're just. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware, right here on Revolution Radio. At revolution.radio. Good Saturday morning, everybody, here on this March the 3rd, rapidly approaching, the spring equinox. And, of course, that means that winter will have officially finished, and we're going to be rolling into spring before you know it. I know here I've only got a couple more months to go here on this particular contract, and I'll be out of the country. Now, obviously working overtime, I think, lately, trying to get something happening. But, yeah, we are going to be out of Saudi Arabia ourselves before summer, really, right before the Ramadan holiday, which is going to be somewhere around the month of Ramadan, that is, somewhere around the May 16th, the 17th, I'm hoping to wrap everything up and get home. So, guys, we're trying to wrap things up. Just want to remind you that in hour number two, Alison Chablot is going to be coming on. Alison is, of course, kind of famous for really being I don't know if you could call it assaulted, but targeted by what's called CAA, which by all indications appears to be an Israeli hate organization. It goes after pretty much anybody and everybody that they feel like it can pick off in a trollish way. Their actions are uncouth, to say the least. Their actions are uncivilized. They're barbaric. They're basically Jewish, in a nutshell. It's what when we talk about Jews and their uncouth, uncivilized, disgusting, quite frankly, mentality, their lack of etiquette, their lack of morals, their lack of values. We're often thinking about groups like the Committee or Against Anti-Semitism or something like that, a campaign against. Anyways, a lot of people call this a fake NGO, but it is an Israeli-run NGO or Israeli-paid-for NGO. It's really trying to stifle free speech in the UK. And quite frankly, to those of you who are in the UK and understanding this message, you got to get over there to the Westminster Courthouse and make your stand. Let it be known that you are tired of these punks and thugs that happen to be, oh boy, just happen to be Jews, always trying to stifle debate and really discourse here in the West. Look, they're not part of our culture. They are not part of our civilization. And it's time for us to accept that and to start pushing back, because there's 100 times or 1,000 times more of us than them. And as long as everybody's just quiet and cowering in the face of this hyper rabid minority, well, then they're going to keep pushing because they don't know any other way, folks. They only know how to act like a bunch of idiots. And that's just the way it goes. Deal with it. They don't like you. They don't like your civilization. They don't like your culture. And they're going to do anything they can to supplant you and destroy you. So, okay, understand that's the game and start to deal with it accordingly. That would be my advice. Just like to remind you, this is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It relies upon your donations to help keep the network alive, funded, etc., etc. The best thing you can do is work your way over to revolution.radio. That's right, revolution.radio. And when you go there, there's a page called, I'm going there now just so I can get a good handle on it. It's called Funding. And if you click on the funding page, you'll see that so far we're 3 days into this. We've raised about $173 of the goal of $2,700 a month. There's books that you can buy. It looks like there is, I got to update my pages here. But guys, again, there's things you can, there's swag, as you call it. There's t-shirts. I don't know what else we have there. But my favorite thing, guys, is just because we like this show so much, I'm assuming you like this show, is to get out there and make a donation on behalf of Inside the Eye Live. It's very little, $3, $4, $5 a month. Our attitude is, look, if we can get 100 of you guys and gals out there to sponsor the show at $4 a month, that's a dollar a week, basically. And there's 500, 100 of you. That would be $400 or $500 a month that we would be raising straight up, just for this show and Inside the Eye Live primetime. And so, guys, we really encourage you to do that because, again, with the way things are getting deplatformed nowadays, it's really hard to build these platforms. It's really odd days, and it's worse for things care of the platform itself, and that means by funding it and helping keep the thing going. So guys, again, we ask you to make a donation on behalf of Inside the Eye Live. And again, $3 to $4, $5 a month would be a great thing. Now the ITIL Cat Report, of course, is how we are partially sponsored here. It's proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Posts, good services and solutions for all things great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and of course, a show by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Blackbird Nine, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. Frederick is an NSA whistleblower, 9/11 truth advocate, former 32-degree Mason, and a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Network. For more information, you can visit blackbird9tradingposts.org. That's blackbird9tradingposts.org. Well, not a whole lot to report on the cat report today. It's been very quiet this past week. The house has been quiet. Mating season, everybody, is pretty much over. And what that entails is One Eye, the big guy, he is staying home again. He just kind of goes out, does his thing, stays out for an hour or two, kind of like wanders around and gets some fresh air. And by the afternoon hours, One Eye is right back inside the house chilling. And I saw a nice picture of him today. He was up on that favorite perch. I got to say, take some pictures of these so you guys can just see what I'm talking about. But One Eye was out there in the kitchen. Just chilling. We still got the cardboard there so that black cat can't jump into our house. But he was chilling, sleeping, and it was kind of cute this morning. I was on the phone to Jordan, and One Eye comes into the bedroom, and he doesn't meow, everybody. He kind of talks to you. Actually, my cats don't meow too much. They all kind of talk. And so he just came in the room, and he's just like meowing at Emily. And hey, you know, hey, meow, meow, meow. And hopped up on the bed, climbed up to her left shoulder, and just laid his head down and starting to rub his head into her, basically around her armpits. I hope she took a shower. I hope she did. I'm sure she did. But you have to wonder sometimes with the way the cats react. But he just was a sweetheart today, as usual. One, Bruiser usually is a sweetheart, quite frankly. For a blind cat, what a great little guy. But that's about it. You know, not a whole lot's going on right now. Not a whole lot around here, quite frankly. The cats I used to feed, Ma, she's a mom again. You can see she's nursing some kittens. She's running around looking for food today. I saw her outside my hotel today. But it's been very, very quiet, quite frankly. Even the fights that I used to hear a lot around the house every night, sometimes 2, 3, 4 a night, they have been tapering down to one every other day. And so it's been very quiet. The cats are starting to get back to the routine of just being cats and not worrying about mating season. Because mating season, if you really follow cats, it can be a really crazy, wild, insane time. But that's about it for the ITEL Cat Report. Again, proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all things great and small. And also, of course, by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Blackbird Nine, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. And again, you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And if you haven't heard his shows, this guy really puts a lot of effort into his shows. It's very well researched, very well organized, very well presented. And so it's a different style show for sure. But if you haven't heard it, you ought to give it a call or give it a listen, because we're sure you're going to like it, as we know, because his audience continues to grow. So check out Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, again, every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. And then you can, of course, get up more information at blackbird9tradingpost.org.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boyum tears.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
This Oy Vey moment is brought to you by Radio Werewolf and HeartlandOnline.net. Radio Werewolf is now streaming 24 hours of no-nonsense, uncensored radio centered around the pro-European Western civilization spirit. And be sure to catch all their live shows at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. To listen live or catch the archived shows and curated content, visit werewolfradio.com. That's W-E-H-R, wolfradio.com. And if you want to expand your information options and find like-minded content, visit heartlandonline.net, where you will find many popular and insightful Western-centric podcasts, news articles, videos, music, and much more, including yours truly, The Fetch, and Inside the Eye Live. So just remember, Radio Werewolf, that's W-E-H-R Wolf, and heartlandonline.com.
And everybody, this week's Oy Vey moment is coming to us from Poland, and it really is some of the fallout coming from the recent passing and now suspension of a law that made it a crime to implicate Poland in the Holocaust. See, it was, of course, Poles are actually quite guilty of murdering many, many Germans. In fact, perhaps over 1 million Germans. So the Poles are not innocent on this by any stretch of the imagination. And that's with all due respect to our listeners in Poland. I think all of us have an obligation, quite frankly, to recognize the crimes of our governments and to deal with it in a professional way and draw attention to it so that we can really start to set the record straight. Because quite frankly, a lot of us have been fighting this scourge called really this Jewish scourge and all its different manifestations. And the Poles have done it, I guess, in their way from time or from generations on, you know, from generations or per some generations or whatever. The Russians, of course, have had their experiences. We Americans have lost many millions of people, probably, quite frankly, to this scourge through the various wars that Jews have convinced us to fight. The Canadians equally are under a very heavy strain right now to Jewish tyranny. The Brits, themselves. They're a proud people who have had, of course, many of their crimes that have been committed under the flag of Britain, too. So, guys, to us, one of the things I think we should always do is recognize the crimes of the government so we have a very fair understanding of history. It's not fair, quite frankly, for the Russians and the Poles. And in my opinion, again, I'm not there. I don't understand, but I know they're at each other's throat quite often. I guess I can respect that. It's their nature, their culture. But at the same time, a lot of the crimes committed over the last century was done by the Jewish people themselves. They were some of the greatest mass murderers this planet has ever witnessed. In fact, they are probably the greatest mass murderer. It's really the great thing that they brought to us was misery. I think when you think of Jews and Judaism, I think what we should all think about is deception, criminality, misery, and things of this nature. So now the Simon Wiesenthal Center, which is, again, brought to us by a guy that was a fraud, who left Auschwitz. He joined the Germans to march away from Auschwitz. He joined the column of Germans, in other words. And you would think to yourself, why would a Jew, like anybody, march with your Germans, with these Germans away from the front lines when the Russians were coming to liberate your camp? Why did Simon Wiesenthal do that? Why did nobody talk about the Holocaust in any of their memoirs? Churchill didn't write about it. Eisenhower didn't write about it. Nobody wrote about it until some many, many years later as Jews started to gain a stranglehold on media. And of course, they've always had a stranglehold, but let's just call it a larger stranglehold. So the point here is that when history cannot support these Jewish lies, and the lies can only be supported by absolute tyrannical methods, which is basically to try to jail you, remove you from your job, destroy your family, whatever the case is, because you don't believe in it. Folks, I've been there. I've dealt with this issue since the early 2000s, and even before that, I was still talking about it. And I understand the way that Jews go after you and how they will try to make you a victim and whine like a bunch of crybabies because they don't like what they heard. Well, now you've got the Simon Wiesenthal, and I would tell the Simon Wiesenthal Center to get the hell out of my country because they are joining in this intensifying, quote-unquote, dispute over the country's past treatment of Jews. Look, if I am Poland, I'm going to bring up every single issue of Jewish criminality within my country. I'm not going to hide the history because I'm trying to protect Poland. I would be raising every single criminal act of the Jewish people, every single treasonous act of the Jewish people, and then I would talk about how the Jewish people mistreated the Poles, and consequently, they were treated overly fair under the circumstances. Why on earth, really, why on earth should people continue to remain on the defensive in the face of an adversary who has no defense when you attack them with logic and reason? Let them, seriously, let the Jewish people whine like a bunch of crybabies. Who cares? Keep raising the facts about their criminality, about their sadism, about their cannibalism, whatever the case may be. Now, there's a couple quotes here. Rabbi Marvin Heyer, he's the dean of the Simon Wiesenthal. He's the founder and the dean of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. He cited, again, get this, declassified U.S. intelligence report released by the organization this week that counters the Polish narrative. Nobody cares about fabricated U.S. intel reports. Look, U.S. intelligence as an intelligence agency is so freaking stupid. They sold the world on an idea of Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction. They have no credibility, folks. The U.S. intelligence community is so incompetent, they can't even solve something as obvious as 9/11. Look, we're not interested in Jews bringing out some type of document about quote-unquote anti-Semitism. They're trying to claim that there was a 33-page document from 1946 describing widespread anti-Semitism in Poland after liberation from the Nazi or the German occupation. It states that some Jews, fearing for their lives, well, who cares whether they were fearing for their lives? That's not our business. If they want to fear for their lives, hell, they fear for their lives now when somebody says oy vey to them in the wrong tone. So who cares that these guys, quote unquote, fear for their lives? How stupid do people have to be to keep reading and actually responding to this crap? Says that they sought refuge in camps for displaced people in the U.S. zone in Germany rather than staying. Yeah, because the people who were coming were behind were also Jewish, and they were some of the most sadistic, disgustingly evil people that has ever graced planet Earth. But Jews don't want to talk about that, do they? They want to hide behind their little facade of whining victimhood, don't they? Now, they go out there. What made us release the document were comments by Polish officials that there were bad Poles, just like there were a few bad Jews. Well, no, there were a lot of bad Jews. Jews were probably the most sinister, evil component of World War II, and that is the part of the history that is never, ever being sold, told, or acknowledged. And I think it's time that Jewish people start to acknowledge the fact that they were exceedingly evil during World War II. They were guilty of war crimes during World War II. They were promoting mass genocide during World War II. They actually enacted mass genocide during World War II. And it's time that the Jewish people start to acknowledge these crimes and start to pay back everything they have taken from the West. There's no reason why governments in the West should continue to kowtow to this classless group think strategy used by the Jewish people here. They're talking here, Jacek Sasin. He's an aide to the prime minister. He insisted yesterday, that the dispute is a misunderstanding and that anti-Semitism exists across Europe. Well, again, anti-Semitism should exist across Europe. If it doesn't exist, it means that Europeans are being idiots, because the Jewish people have made it very clear to everybody that it is their intent, their motive, and their motivation to destroy European civilization. Well, if you're not against these people, then you got something wrong with you. You need to be against the Jewish people. And no amount of anti-Semitism, as they like to call it, or anti-Jew sentiment, is unjustified here. No amount. It's all justified. Folks, they're not good people. They lie. They gaslight. They do whatever they can to gain a moral advantage over the people here. Now, it says here, higher, whose parents emigrated from Poland in the 20s, said neither he nor his organization is anti-Polish. No, it's purely Jewish, which means that if it's quote-unquote Jewish and it happens to be against Poland, then they don't have a problem with that. So again, if you are Polish and your policies happen to be against the Jewish people here, hey, just leave it. It's not anti-Semitic, guys. Hey, we're just doing our thing, man, and it's in our interest. And hey, we don't give a crap what you Jews think anymore. That's how it has to be. And if you don't like it, you are a foreign element by your own definition. Get the heck out of our countries. That's what we created Israel for. That's what the U.S. lost 100 million people for, was so that the Israelis, the Jewish maniacs that run this planet pretty much in the West, had a place to go to. So it says here, of course, there were no Polish death camps, but any scholar will tell you that the problem of anti-Semitism in Poland had nothing to do with communism. Are you kidding me? Are these Jews that much friggin' pathetic that they got to lie to our faces like that? Everybody in the West at that time understood the pure evil of Jews and their communist ideologies. It was very well known. Everybody knew about it. So how does Heyer, some classless clown, get off gaslighting us by trying to tell us the opposite is actually true? See what I mean? It's like a never-ending parade of lying to us straight to our face in a form of intellectual violence, and they never, ever even blink about the way in which they go about lying to us. Poland, this guy says here, he says, Poland would go really far by saying, we didn't murder Jews, but we have to acknowledge that anti-Semitism was a serious problem in Poland. Well, you know what? It's time for Jews to admit that, look, you weren't murdered in a bunch of death camps, so stop playing the game. And the justification for the anti-Jewish sentiment in Europe was not only valid, but a necessary part of the society of that day, and that it was absolutely critical for people to hold anti-Jewish sentiments because Jews were such a criminal force within these countries within which they were staying. It's time for Jews to start literally acknowledging their crimes, acknowledging the fact that they're anti-Western, acknowledging the fact that they are not patriotic to their people. That is absolutely what must start to happen. It's not a one-way street here, folks. People should start demanding of Jews, you should absolutely acknowledge all of your crimes, and you should come up with ways to compensate all of those who are victims of Jewish crimes in the last century. And while we're at it, let's talk about the Iraqis today, the American servicemen and their families who have lost their loved ones because of who knows what, that's killed off 500,000 American servicemen since the Gulf War. Folks, all of this goes on. We must recognize Jewish terror. We must recognize that Auschwitz, Birkenau, and all of these camps were not quote unquote death camps. They were labor camps. They were providing a safe haven for Jews to hide out the war while everybody else was dying all around them. They were swimming in swimming pools. They were working. Yeah, well, that's called, well, I know Jews, it's a crime to make a Jew work. I know that. You know, their fingernail might have broken. They're not a working class. They could never survive if they could not parasite seemingly over everybody else. But look, there were no death camps, folks. And none of this is real. And really, it is becoming high time that Jewish people start to absolutely recognize this. I don't want to see a wall of Jews sitting out there like mugshots showing, look at, we were all criminals. We were all criminals and we deserve to be here. It's time for Jews to start showing us the pictures of the tens of millions of people they went out of their way and executed, murdered, etc. within our lands. Folks, we were, as Europeans, over 33% of the world population in the 1930s. Now, Europeans are less than 10%. If you don't figure out that there is an absolute campaign against Europeans to prevent births, to prevent population growth, to stifle growth, to destroy growth, and even to destroy life itself, as we are witnessing through this mass immigration scam ongoing in the West, and you're just really not paying attention anymore. Oh, so they're talking about this quote-unquote Jews and their hatred. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. I believe she's now live, joining us from somewhere in the UK, Alison Chablot. She kind of became kind of famous by being charged with a private crime of promoting something or other that Jews didn't like. And I'm not exactly sure what this case is really all about because it's all a lot of nonsense to me. But nonetheless, she's here to join us. Alison Chablot, welcome back.
Thank you, Dennis. It's a great pleasure to be back again.
Yeah, you know,
after all this time. Yes.
Well, you know what? I don't like to overuse my guests, you know. So I'm not, you know, and people like to listen to me, so what can I do, you know? They say, Fetch, don't bring on too many guests. We want to hear you talk.
Yeah. But you're very good at that.
You listen to this show from time to time, don't you?
Yes, I do. You're great. You're a wonderful radio broadcaster, really.
Being very kind.
Your audience should be a lot bigger.
You know what? I think we're being throttled, but you know what the heck? You know, we're doing the best we can, and you know what it's like. Real quick, you were on the show a year or so ago, and the issue was then you were just, I think, going to trial. Was that the case when you came on the show?
No, you interviewed me because I was banned from Twitter. That was I'd been going through problems. You know, I'd lost my job and the police were investigating some unwanted deliveries sent to my home address. And I think that investigation by then had been closed. But we spoke the issue which led to you inviting me on was that I lost my Twitter account. And I think several others at the same time had also lost theirs. So you kept a thread of that going, having me on. But the funny thing is that was obviously on a Saturday. It must have been the 11th or 12th of November, 2016. And the next day, there was a knock on the door the next evening and I was arrested. And that's when my legal problems began.
Now, just so people who aren't familiar, and a lot of people are, because we kind of talk about your case from time to time. But really, there is a non-government NGO called the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, I believe it is.
Yes, a charity.
It's an NGO. Charity NGO, same thing. We believe it's funded by Israel. We can't really say that from a fact, but we believe it's really an Israeli front that I think targets really a lot of the BDS people that are trying to raise awareness about BDS and sanctioning Israel. Is that kind of true about these guys from your understanding?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think their objective regards people like me, and another activist who's one of their targets, Jez Turner, who you've also spoken to, I think, and had as a guest, and it's that they want to bring about a legal precedent which basically acts as a Holocaust denial law, as there is in Germany, France, etc. So that's also there, as well as going for the BDS, as well as, you know, trying to outlaw these boycotts of Israeli goods, etc., to prevent the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement. They also are, I think, tasked with trying to bring about a legal precedent via their mine's a test case for the moment. Jez Turner is slightly different. He's being charged under a different act than me, but they're going for me under the Communications Act, to try and say that Holocaust denial revisionism is grossly offensive. That's how they're trying to do it. It's kind of
what I don't understand when I follow some of Jewish, you've heard my thing, Jewish logic, which is as illogical as it gets. You have to call it Jewish logic. And they talk about slandering the memory of millions. Have we reached peak stupidity within the Jewish community that they actually continue to sell that? And isn't it about time that we, the people, start to push back against this type of level of idiocy from the Jewish community? What do you mean by slamming the memory of millions? What a stupid thing is that? And you're going to make that a criminal offense? I mean, what type of bizarre world do Jews live in to where they believe this type of tyranny is even acceptable?
Well, there's so much at stake, isn't there, with the official narrative? I mean, the mainstream, you can forget the mainstream. They're still pumping out the weekly press releases from the Auschwitz Museum, you know, or they found such and such a carving, you know, by a prisoner who suffered and 6 million Jews died in the gas chambers. They are still pumping it out. I think there is a pushback, but we're being corralled, and hence the draconian censorship of social media, not only Twitter, but now Google and YouTube, I think since September last year. I mean, my YouTube channel has been banned in the UK. It says, this channel is no longer available. Please click here to unsubscribe. Can you believe that? But my channel is available in Ireland. It's certainly available in Jordan, Egypt, in Denmark. But my own channel with my own work on it is not available in my own country. So desperate are they are to silence me and limit my reach. And that all began with Twitter.
We're not like huge, like you and I. I mean, we're good at what we do, but our reach is measurable. It's not like we're like some massive reach. No, we don't have that. But I think perhaps, Allison, what they're afraid of with you, and not so much me. They honestly don't go after me too much, and I don't know why anymore. I'm starting to feel bad. It's like maybe I'm doing something wrong. You know, it's like you guys don't bother me anymore. Like, why? Even, I don't know if you heard last week, by the way, Twitter was investigating a lot of my tweets that were raised about some of my anti-Jewish rhetoric. And they came back and said, we found nothing wrong. Keep going.
Bit.
Like, come on, I can't do it. What's wrong with you guys? But but anyway.
I mean, that's what they do all day is complain.
Literally, that's what they're doing. They're sitting behind their laptop and complaining all day.
They have the money to pay teams of these dedicated flaggers. And I'm sure the people who are clicking report and all this, they don't even read or watch the videos being flagged. They will be in groups, in messaging groups, etc. And there will be an order given, oh, report this video, here's the link. And they will just open the link and click report without even bothering to watch the content. It is, Richie Allen had his entire YouTube channel closed down. I can consider myself lucky. My channel still exists.
Yeah, and YouTube, quite frankly, it's not just regarding, I understand, these Jewish issues. They're doing a lot of just nondescript, from UFOs to body language. People have done body language analysis of leading elites. They're going out there and they're hammering, going after everybody. Doesn't fit a very narrow definition. And you have to wonder at some time, where's the pushback going to come, even from investors? You know, it's got to be hurting the shares and the stocks by cutting views, cutting advertising, et cetera. There's more going on here, and I think we're just going to obviously let it play out. We have no choice. You know, we're just going to have to see where it goes. But I think people really need to push back. We keep pushing for that. Just want to cover a few more things. We're going to go on to your trial here coming up soon. But, you know, when I look at some of the stuff that you used to tweet, and you used to tweet under your musical account, I believe, at one time, or yourself also. But you would just say things like, now widely accepted that most camp inmates died of typhus. And that's such an innocuous statement. Yeah. Yet Jews are making this out to be some massively... evidence of denial and hatred. It's like, what is wrong with the Jewish community right now?
Well, it's not. It's the Jewish and the liberals as well. I had notification earlier today. There's a group I sometimes attend. There's a group in London, called the Keep Talking Group, and it's just a discussion group. It began with talking about 9/11, and it's moved on to other subjects. But the main Antifa. Well, it's a Labour Party front, but also a Zionist front. It's called Hope Not Hate, and they've managed to cancel this group. And it's full of senior citizens. You know, there's no way that any of these people are going to be going and creating any trouble for anybody. All they want to do is have a venue where they can invite interested people to go and discuss issues, and they'll have a speaker who will talk on various topics. And the excuse this time is that they had Nick Kollerstrom, who once said that there was a swimming pool at Auschwitz. Now, I've also tweeted about that. And that too, even tweeting about soap and lampshades, soap and lampshades, or singing about soap and lampshades, as is the case of one of my songs, which is subject to charges, that is considered to be anti-Semitic and a slander of the memory of the supposed 6 million.
I hear you, but the point is that so what?
Yeah,
have a right to be anti-Semitic, just as Jews have a right to be anti-white, and they show it every day. It's like, what is this about the Jewish people, the insanity going on, where they believe they are above any and all criticism, even when they are rightly deserved of this criticism?
Yes. Well, there's a whole industry, isn't it? You know,
it really is. Now, didn't your trouble start back in 2015? with your famous Quesnel salute?
Well, that was also that was the first time my name hit the press. But prior to that, I'd lost one contract in Germany. I'd been working for a cruise company. But yes, that's when my name hit the headlines, was my Quesnel salute at the Edinburgh Festival, when my accusers didn't want my show to go ahead. But the Edinburgh Fringe at that point said, oh, but we're the Edinburgh Fringe, and she has the right to her freedom of expression, therefore she can continue. So the organizer had very kindly informed me of these letters trying to get my show banned. And so that was my response. I just tweeted a photograph of myself on Twitter with a nice Quesnel.
At the end of the day, come on, this is a silly picture. And they make this out to be like the second coming of Joseph Stalin or something. I'm not sure what they mean by it. It's like a silly little pose at the end of the day.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a
silly little pose at the end of the day. It's just a pose. And they make it be this massive symbolic thing that's worthy of going after and destroying people. You have to just really, again, what is wrong with the Jewish community right now?
One of the top Jews in France, Alain Yakubovitch is his name, he said that the Quesnel was symbolic of a sodomization of victims of the Shoah.
Well, that's a heck of a vivid imagination there.
Well, yes, it is.
I would have to dig deep to go come up with that imagery and put that on air.
And then you have the double standards. You know, you have the French. This is in the case of the French political activist Alain Soral is his name, going to the Berlin Holocaust Memorial. You know, this horrible, ugly slabs of concrete stones.
Yeah,
and he made a Quesnel salute in there, and he's been fined so far about €30,000 for defaming the memory of the victims of the Shoah. But you get Israelis going there, so-called BDS Israelis going there, and doing even more obscene things, which I won't go into here, but not being subjected to any consequences at all. So there's these double standards as well in the way that, you know, certain figures are attacked, whereas others seem to be able to cause gross offense with impunity.
And again, gross offense is so innocuous, it doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, unless it's Jewish logic, from logic, it doesn't mean anything. I don't know how we're allowing, as a people, you know, to allow this stupidity to prosper within our countries. What does this even mean?
I think the Shoah and the memory of the Shoah that's pumped, you know, continually pumped at us via the media, and these memorial days and the ever-increasing Holocaust memorial sites around the world, museums. There's a new one going to be built in London, right next to our Houses of Parliament. You know, that's the way they can start indoctrinating children at an early age with school trips, etc. When I was at school, we didn't go and visit Auschwitz, but I think it's pretty much par for the course now. You know, you get these cheap flights, day flight in and out of the Poland, and the children are taken around Auschwitz. And the Holocaust education begins in primary school now. It's not just, you know, a high school. It begins at an early age, and they use this myth, which is the foundation myth of the world we're living in today, to create these liberal, good democratic citizens. You know, oh, racism, we can't be having any racism. We know what leads to racism. You know, it begins with name calling and leads straight to the gas chambers at Auschwitz. So you can't be racist, and you've got to remember the victims of the Shoah. So it's not only used to, you know, fortify the Jewish angle of things, that Jews are above criticism, but it's also used to reinforce globalism and the globalist agenda of creating the world of endless tyranny and slavery for us all.
Have you been in touch with anybody from the Monica Schaefer camp?
Yes.
Update on what's going on with that case?
Well, I think she's in good spirits. She's still in jail. She's still in jail. She's still awaiting trial. Now, I think that they can only keep her for 6 months. If there's no reason to bring her for trial, if there's no reason to bring her to trial at that point, then I think that they are obliged to release her. I mean, she's kept her, she's held on remand as a flight risk, because obviously she's not a German citizen. Obviously, she's of German origin and she speaks the language. Imagine if you were in a German prison and you didn't speak the language. I mean, it must be the case for Middle Easterners, etc. But for an educated Western woman who's absolutely delightful and charming. But she's in good spirits. I've heard that she's in a cell with three other women, not sure of their nationality, it could be anything. And she's keeping fit. She can paint and draw. But she's certainly in good spirits, and she's certainly not being having her spirit broken by this. And I think Alfred, is her brother, is right in saying that this will further increase public awareness and be in our favour. They always go too far, and this isn't just one more example of how they do that, shooting themselves in their own foot. For a video where she apologises to her own mother, there's absolutely nothing hateful about this.
Yes, exactly. It had nothing to do with Jews. It's just apologising to your mother. It's like, I'll be honest, it's like I've given up trying to figure out what motivates them.
Well, even the lawyers admit, you know, the truth is no defense. I mean, they know, but they are, the system is just so corrupt, so utterly corrupt that even top judges in Germany have said this with the Horst Mahler case in particular, this law is an ass.
It's an embarrassment to the German people, which are a proud people. They're allowing themselves to be made fools of, quite frankly, in the public eyes. Globalize here, because how can you guys be that stupid? You're a proud people, and here we look at you prosecuting things in a way that truly makes you look like a laughing stock and a blight upon Western civilization. And that's a sad situation.
Yes, I would like to see some big public outcry over this. You know, there was this young Palestinian teenager who slapped a soldier, Ahed Tamimi. Yeah. Who's now in prison in an Israeli jail.
Heck, well, they've the Muslim taken out like 15 of her family members last week.
This girl, she slapped a soldier in an illegally military occupied zone. Then they banged her up. And of course, there's absolutely no question that that's unjustifiable.
You know, they shot her cousin in the head. You know that?
Yeah.
And then, you know what the story was? Oh, he fell off his bike. It's like, you know, you guys have become a level of evil. I just can't get my gander.
They are evil. They are truly evil. There's a Muslim human rights organization, Islamic Union. The name is In Minds, and they organized. It was a great guerrilla projection. A guerrilla projection, they called it. A great initiative. They projected. They used a projector, and they beamed onto the facade of the Houses of Parliament in London. Great photographs. Free Ahmed Tamimi. You know, they did this guerrilla presentation. Of course, the press completely ignored it. But there were lots of people there, and they took photos. And I think we should do this, similar.
Do you find that the Palestinian advocate segment of the culture is actually much more effective than we are ourselves in combating the issue relative to Israel and human rights?
Well, I think this particular initiative impressed me. I thought, yes, you know, why aren't we doing the same for our own political prisoners? A young man, 22, 23 years old, who've said something, you know, unwise on social media and have been locked up for 2 or 3 years of their lives, of their young lives, in the prime of their youth. Why aren't we coming together and organising for these political prisoners? Yes, I think the Palestinian movement does do good work, but they need to be they need to be more vocal. I mean, I and others in the way, Gilad Atzmon, we think that, you know, a lot of the pro-Palestinian organizations have been taken over by Jews. And these people who claim to be anti-Zionists are, in fact, still Zionists and still, you know, oh, yes, but Israel, blah, 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 and the Holocaust. So, yes, I think there is a possibility for us to join together and talk about racial issues, talk about nationalist issues. But for the moment, I think we have to concentrate on our own people and our Western governments who
that's
are
what
imposing
I,
this tyranny. This tyranny.
That's what when I first met Graham Hart, he was really pro-Palestine. He listens too, so Graham, don't shoot me here. But he was very pro-Palestine when I first met him. I told him exactly what you said there. No, I think we need to spend more time on our own issues. And what is Palestine. We have enough of our own issues to focus on without him. To just always promote Palestine.
We're all Palestinians now. We're all occupied territories here in the West. Britain is occupied. Germany is occupied. France is occupied.
Correct.
The United States. They still have the First Amendment, but they're going after that.
Allison, what have you learned, really? Because you're kind of late to this, but you're also obviously having a court case brought against you makes you become very focused very fast. But what have you learned over the last few years now from the time when you were just doing, like most of us, doing our thing out there, not really paying attention, to now being in the spotlight and having to confront this power that a lot of people want to try to deny to even exist? What have you learned about this Israeli infiltration of our nations and the type of tactics they use? What have you learned? Are you there? What a great question, and she's disappeared off the radar screen. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. A lot of funny things happening with Skype. I'm not sure exactly what's happened. Allison, are you still on the air?
Yes. Did we get cut off?
Here's what's happened. Your contact has disconnected from my network, which means you would have to re-approve my contact request for you to actually communicate through IM. But I'm glad to hear you're still on the air, so that's a great thing. I don't know, man. Skype, and who knows? People, I'm not a conspiracy guy about this stuff. You know, computers make wacky things. Before we went in the break, I was asking you a quick question. You were never into the nationalist side of things. You were an entertainer. You're doing your gigs. You're on your cruises, pretty much minding your own business. Is that kind of a fair statement?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you find yourself being targeted for unknown reasons. Obviously, you have to look into why. You start to understand why. But now that you have a court case being brought against you, which is a very serious issue in any situation, what have you learned about this power structure that targets citizens in our nations? That's really a foreign power. What have you learned that you might share with some of the audience about this power structure?
Although that they have the means, immeasurable funding to be able to carry out what they do. Before I got cut off, realizing that I was cut off, I was saying that you know, I've learned that everything I learned as growing up as a child. My grandfather was a soldier in the British Army, and he was killed age 23 in 1940. I think he was, you know, he was like many of the others, thinking that they were going to war, propagandized by the powers that be, into fighting for the glory of this country. And that if he'd survived and became aware of the fact that, no, he was in fact fighting for the establishment of the Kuhnhof-Kalergi plan, and the foundation of the Greater Israel, then I think he would have, you know, had remorse about going in there and fighting these brothers' wars. That I always learned, oh, your grandfather's sacrifice was to ensure that we can enjoy the liberties of Western civilization. But it's just not true. Western civilization, yes, it's supposed to be founded on open debate, honesty, honor, duty, all these pillars of Western civilization. But it's just not true. And it was learning about the plight of people like Horst Mahler, Ursula Haverbeck, Sylvia Stoltz, now Monica Schaefer, of course, Professor Faurisson in France, that these people are being silenced via legal means. You know, it's not just intimidation. Many of them have also suffered. The professor's been beaten up 10 times by people who are connected with the militant Jewish organizations, Defense League type organizations. But they're also using the law. They're also able to buy our corrupt, vain, greedy politicians to the extent where these politicians basically betray their own country and their own people.
And when you hear a lot of the arguments brought against you, you know, and they're the same things we've all received over time, but they talk about how this idea of diversity, and being tolerant of others. But I think what we're now learning and people are grasping is that these people aren't tolerant to even one ounce of a pound or a quarter of an inch. These guys have zero tolerance for anybody but their own views, don't they?
Yes, and it's the double standards, Dennis. I was looking around the other day. I thought, okay, well, you know, they're saying that my songs, as for the listeners, I'm on trial for three songs that I uploaded to the internet, my own compositions. And in two of these songs, I take Jewish melodies, which I parody. And of course, I change the words. I wouldn't sing in Hebrew, no thank you. But I looked on the internet for parodies of Christmas carols. So not your Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm talking about religious Christian Christmas carol music. And I found an American a cappella act going by the name of Paint, and it's progressive Christmas carols. And it's the usual stuff, you know, some of it might be okay. I didn't find it particularly funny, but at one point they imply quite specifically that Jesus was gay. Now, I find that quite offensive, to be honest.
I'm not even.
If a legal precedent is set with my case, then will it be possible for devout Christians to also cite this Section 127 of the Communications Act for causing gross offence for things like this?
I think I think that British people should en masse go after every single Jewish person for this. In other words, you make it a nightmare for the Jewish people because that's what they're looking to do. So, okay, once they put it in motion, use it against them because that's the fastest way they'll repeal it.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, using Jewish tunes, my goodness, what a crime. You know, we have a stabbing every day in London. Every day somebody is killed by a stabbing. And the drug dealing, and the theft, and not to mention all the terror plots of this, that, and the other. Goodness me, going after a singer, really? What does this country come to? My grandfather did he think that he was fighting for that, so that singers could be brought to trial for their parodies of Jewish tunes? Did he think that he was fighting so that gay couples can adopt children? That's a Jonathan Bowden quote, by the way. It's not come from me, but I really don't think that the people who fought in the Second World War would have, if they could see what's happening today, that they would be impressed at all, and they wouldn't consider that they won.
How long has your trial been ongoing now? From the time that they went from a private prosecution, which is absurd, to a public prosecution. How long have you been now dealing with this headache?
Well, I've been dealing with it since we last spoke. So that's 15 months, going on 16 months.
It's been that long since you were here, huh?
eight or nine court hearings for a summary. It's a summary offence. Communications Act, sending. There's also this, you know, what did I send? I didn't send my music to these individuals who are complaining. I simply posted a link uploaded to YouTube. They went and sought out these links themselves. There's even one of the songs that's been sandboxed on YouTube they were all played in court last month, and the first day of my trial, which was very bizarrely adjourned. And there's the sandboxing. Are you sure you want to continue to watch this video? Well, they know it's me. You know, why are they clicking on this song? Well, clearly it's because they want me locked up. They want me clamped in irons, Dennis, and made an example of.
Did you have a lot of chuckles when they played it in the courtroom?
Yes. It was quite surreal for me to be sitting there in the dock.
Now, just to set the record straight, you did not sing your song in the dock,
correct? No, I did not.
So the Daily Mail and all these mainstream publications are just lying through their teeth.
They lied in unison. It was quite an experience. These songs are my babies, Dennis. You know, they are part of me. They come from me. So to see my performances that I've not been allowed to share or promote over the past 18 months, you know, I've been gagged on bail. I can't share them. To see these songs being played in court, especially the two videos from the London Forum, which was in front of a live audience who were all cheering and laughing and clapping at the end, it was quite surreal, quite something. And yes, the public gallery, they applauded after the first song was played, but the judge told them off, said they shouldn't be doing that again.
A lot of people may think that this is really... personnel-wise, a really big thing, right? But the truth of the matter is, this is just a couple, to me, okay, I can't speak for you, but for me as an outside observer, a couple Jewish thugs, basically, trollish thugs who have been empowered with some money to go after somebody. They decided you were one they were going to go after, and that's it. There's no other real issue here, is there? It's just two of these thugs making a complaint. And again, that's not you speaking. That's me as an outside observer looking at what's going on. You've got your presiding district judge, John Zaney. Is he still there?
Yes.
No jury. Karen Robinson, she's your prosecuting counsel. Adrian Davies is with you, correct?
Yes.
Then you got Gideon Falter, the chairman of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, and Stephen Silverman, who's the director of quote-unquote investigations. What a stupid thing that sounds like. And enforcement. Well, who's he to enforce anything?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Who's he to be enforcing anything? This is almost like, dude, you know, in America, maybe, you know, I don't want to say, but my goodness, you come at people like that in America, they may not be tolerant of you.
Well, one of my theories, you know, obviously music is a powerful tool, powerful language. And I think someone said to me, your songs are doing more than any textbook, you know, that's ever been written on the subject, because it is a heavy subject, the Holocaust. And yes, it might well offend certain sensibilities, but that's subjective. It's on their part. Lots of things offend me. Look, I don't have friends high up in the House of Commons or in the police to go and complain and whine about these things.
But Allison,
and I think life's too short.
Offense is nothing. It's subjective. I'm offended that this guy actually believes that he should be in charge of investigations and enforcement against private individuals. I'm offended by that. Should he be in trial? Absolutely then. Because he's going at the rights of the British people. That's highly offensive, and people should treat him in this way.
Well, I think they have lost credibility, not only among the public in large and among the politicians and the police, etc., but among the Jewish community. That's how it seems to me. The clever Jews know that, you know, that that my lawyer said under cross-examination of these two witnesses, but you know, if you'd have left her alone, she'd have been with her handful of followers doing her thing. Nobody would have heard more. But you have created this publicity around her by bringing this prosecution.
Yeah.
You have made her into a minor celebrity. Mm-hmm. And it's true that now I think they're trying to retract. They complained to police about survivors the day that I uploaded it to the internet. They reported me to police for something that
like
they had to seek out themselves. They
isn't
had to seek out themselves.
Yes.
I didn't send it to
Isn't that telling the police that they're obsessing over you?
I think so, but they applied so much pressure, and I think the poor police and crime commissioner, he had three letters a week from this Silverman trying to get me locked up, which they did eventually manage to get me locked up for 2 days last October. For this other song that I'm now charged with. But I don't know. I think perhaps they were also afraid of my influence because I'm a fluent French speaker. And of course, the revisionism movement pretty much began in France with the work of Professor Faurisson. They knew that I was in contact with him. They considered me to be somebody specifically dangerous for their foundation myth of the Shoah, which is, you know, as we said, the religion of today, that one is not allowed to commit sacrilege or heresy against these ridiculous lies. And it's not as if my songs attack that particularly, they attack the lies of those survivors who have been debunked as such.
But it's fine for
liberals to go out there and denigrate our Christian heritage, Christmas carols, our sacred music, and have millions of views on YouTube, not get sandboxed, be able to monetize their work. Yet we are not allowed to do that. So, yes, they can't quite crucify us, but they can try their best to crucify us socially and professionally speaking.
Well, and of course they have done that, but at the same time, I mean, this was going to happen if not you, somebody else, unfortunately.
Yes, yes.
So it's just a matter of people taking a stand, which, to your credit, you've taken this stand. I can't stand when people apologize.
No.
I can't.
No, stand. I won't be making any groveling apology. And I don't really need to. I don't have any assets, so to speak of. They will go to any lengths. They will continue whatever happens now, on Tuesday.
Last time we had 30 some odd, according to a caller from Scotland who came down to support you.
Yes.
We'd like to get more. I know Graham Hart's made some big, robust statements out there. I told him that's a little bit much, but we'd still like to get a lot of people. How do people get to this new? Well, first of all, let's go back to the first day. The first trial was what? The prosecution presenting its case about a month and a half ago?
Yes.
What was interesting about the, or can you talk about that? What was interesting about the way the case was presented by them?
There's been a couple of interesting articles. One was written by Dr. Colostrom, again, Nick Colostrom, which was published on the Occidental Observer and on the UNS Review, the prosecution doesn't really have any evidence to prove, one, that I broke any laws, because there's still this sending issue. Is posting a link to the internet, can that be construed as sending under this particular law? And secondly, that neither of the prosecution witnesses really had any evidence to prove that I offended anybody except them. And they talked about Irene Zisblatt, for example, and the chief witness, Gideon Falter, admitted that he'd not even read this woman's book. So he's trying to defend somebody, but he's not even bothered to read her book. It was quite amusing, I have to say. Just sit there and listen to they were reading from a script.
They're trolls and clowns, let's be honest. They're not very, they went after me, by the way, after you came on my show.
Yeah.
They did. They went after me and I made some complaints to my circles and said, hey, you better back off, dude, because, you know, it's not just you running this world. And so they basically disappeared. They didn't challenge it beyond about 30 hours.
Yeah. Well, they want a law here. They know they're never going to have a chance to have a similar law in Jordan, but they will. That's what they want here in the UK, you see. They're not bothered about somebody singing, quote, anti-Semitic, unquote, songs anywhere else. They want to set a precedent here in the UK. And the trolling, you know, the guy who that was the most interesting thing as well, the most significant thing I think of my trial last month in January, was this Nemo guy, Sicaro72, who was the one who had me banned from Twitter, but later on it was found out that it wasn't he who had me banned. It was the Community Security Trust, which is the main Jewish NGO in the UK. They admit on their own website, they admit on Twitter, that they worked to have me removed from Twitter. So it was not as if I'd broken any Twitter rules. This is the Community Security Trust.
Well, that's an important sounding name.
Yeah, they're the long-running body that's supposed to...
Basically, the main Jewish NGO there has admitted to targeting British citizens.
Yeah. Not me. I'm not the only one in this case. They've had several people.
Targeting British citizens. That's it. Admitted to targeting British citizens.
Yes. No, Hasbara trolls who get suspended, this same organization will then work to have these Hasbara trolls unsuspended from Twitter. It really is that absurd. I think that they are panicking to some extent. They are panicking. They know that we are reaching, what's the term, the point of no return, when our ideas will simply... gain strength.
Well, it already is. Come on, we're everywhere. They cannot. The dam has already broken. There's leaks so far out there now. I can't categorize it, quite frankly. If I go onto Twitter now, I'm still there, thankfully. And what happened to Facebook? Were you blocked on Facebook also again?
Yes. It was some fake news post that I'd shared. So yes, that was the day after my trial, so I wasn't able to share all the wonderful news coverage about me supposedly singing in the dark.
What's some of the positives you've taken so far out of what's happened?
Can I just come back to the significant thing of the
sure.
trial?
It
ties in that the guy who did get me banned from Twitter, we discovered with the help of a long working dedicated colleague that this man is in fact a journalist, a freelance writer and film critic going by the name of Stephen Applebaum. He writes for the Jewish Chronicle. He wrote for the Jewish Chronicle an article about my Cornell salute in 2015. And he was the one, along with this Silverman character, who was trolling me to the point of, I had 500 tweets to me over the space of a few months. He was the one that was trolling me the most. And one of these songs is about him. At that point, his name was Nemo on Twitter. And I wrote one of these songs called Nemo's Anti-Semitic Universe. So that will be interesting to hear the cross-examination of me, because that's what's going on next Wednesday. Of course, I'm the one that will be in the witness box. Presumably, anything could happen.
So
it usually does.
You are going to the stand in your own defense.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, for people who want to come out and support you, what should they do?
They can, if they want to come to London, the court is the Westminster Magistrates, Central London Magistrates Court on Marylebone Road. And the nearest train station is Marylebone. There's a tube there as well. And there's another one at Edgware Road tube station. It's good to be there at 9:30. There's a little security check before you go in. There will be quite a number of supporters who will be there outside court waiting already, I presume. I suppose. There may be some media there, so for people who don't want to be recognised, wear a hat and a pair of sunglasses. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like, but thankfully the snow's melted. And if people can't come along, then just have a quick look at my blog. Leave a message there, leave a comment under one of my articles. That's alisonshablow.wordpress.com. And there's also links where you can find my PayPal and Bitcoin, etc. If people would like to leave a small donation to help me get by. Because, that's the thing. It's been going on for so long. Will it be all over on Wednesday? I have doubts. you know, will the judge reserve his decision, and that will mean another month or 6 weeks still on bail.
It's still hard to
still
read,
hoping.
How is this judge? Is he fair, or you think he's really falling on the side of the prosecution?
Well, I think so. When this second song was played, the anti-Semitic universe song, Nemo's anti-Semitic universe, the last verse, it's very pro-Palestinian. You know, it says Zionists will flee, everybody will agree, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, free Palestine. And if that isn't fair comment, I don't know what it is. Of course, the Crown witnesses were claiming that was an incitement to genocide of all Jews. So I think the judge, the judge, if he's, I can't really say more than that, but he seems to me to be fair man. He's, when I was arrested in court at the beginning of October, I think he was quite upset about that as well, and the way that I was treated, like a common criminal for having, for singing songs. It's caused quite a lot of uproar. No, the press have said nothing about this Applebaum character who was trolling me relentlessly for 2 years, pretty much. They said nothing about this. It was all, Shablo was singing in the dock. And there's no surprise there. There's no surprise that the press would take this angle. But it would be interesting to see what will happen on Wednesday. Will there be an outcome? And if not, how are the press going to spin things this time?
How many seats are available inside the court?
That's 40 seats, perhaps.
So that we should go fill that for everybody, and then get a crowd outside to take pictures of the media.
Yes.
Really, take pictures of the media. I recommend it because they're the ones promoting this, and make them feel some heat.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Get down there, and show the authorities. Because as you say, it was a private prosecution, and then but the Crown took over because that was a request from my team that the Crown take over the charges. They didn't take over that original charge. They brought new charges. Similar, but different, because they couldn't charge
kind of
for the
dumb, though. Why would a country being involving themselves in this stupidity?
Well, it's like lobbying, isn't it? And the donations to political parties, in this case Theresa May, just a few weeks or a couple of weeks before I was in court for the first time, that was at the end of 2016, December 2016, the government adopted this international definition of anti-Semitism. This awful definition which says that, we can't have Holocaust deniers on any media platform. But we're silenced, we're corralled, but with the internet they're limited to the extent to, and who believes the mainstream media? Who believes what they say? And who believes what government says?
I'll tell you what, the governments are putting themselves into a position where they look really childish. Seriously. This is the most childish display of an abuse of power that I've seen in a long time. You're a singer at the end of the day, Allison. You're nothing. I don't want to say you're nothing, but in the realm of criminality, this is about as nothing as it gets. And what are you doing bringing charges like this for?
But I feel, this is the Conservative Party under Theresa May. And yes, 80% of the Conservative members of Parliament are friends of Israel. But it's the same with the Labour Party. So even if May gets chucked out, it will still be the same under the Labour Party. We really need complete change.
We're out of time. We've already burned through the hour.
Thanks very much, Dennis.
All right, everybody. We'll get that out and get your websites out. It's Allison Shablo, everybody. Again, get out to the Westminster Abbey Courthouse 7 o'clock at Wednesday the 7th. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Today's March the 3rd, 2018. I want to thank Allison Chablot for making an hour available to us. You know, she's got the court case again coming up. She'll be on the witness stand. Should be a very interesting time. So, guys, everybody get out there that's listening in the UK. Again, this isn't just about Allison. This is really about the thug, and again, this is my observation because I know this will get back to certain people. So we're going to phrase it in a very clear way. This is about, from clear, observable observation, from a basic human perception, a couple of thugs who wear a yarmulke decided to go after and target somebody that, for whatever reason, they don't like. And if this isn't tantamount to an exceedingly, let's call it a ostentatious display. How's that for flowery words for you? But an exceedingly ostentatious display of bullying by people within the Jewish community. I really don't know what is. I mean, that's exactly what was happening here. Can you imagine? I can feel for Allison because I was trolled by some of the meanest, nastiest trolls that ever graced this planet for years and years. So I can relate to some moron in the Jewish community trolling me for five, six, just on and on and on and on. I can get it. And you have to understand that when and we don't advocate trolling here. We think it's a disgusting display of human interaction here. So we don't really we don't condone it by any stretch. You make your points, you get out. Make your points, get out. Not this constant droning of idiocy that is this troll world. Look, make your points, get out. Make your points, get out. But when you're subjected to all this massive trolling, why is it that you can troll a politician that is Jewish and you find yourself getting hauled into court for harassment, but Jews believe it's more than morally acceptable to troll for years or more because they think that you're quote unquote a denier. What a bunch of idiots are we dealing with here? And we need to start calling it that, guys. Look, there's a time to grow up out there when it comes to dealing with these types of clowns. You know, if you look at some of the comments coming from the Jewish community and why you should get out there. One of the things they said is something like, this comes on a Facebook post, and it is, let's see if I can find it quick enough here. You'd think I would be able to. I just had it. The name is Jewish, Tim DeRozan. He writes in a post, he said, obviously, Mr. DeRozan has to be obsessed here to even bother, quite frankly, to go on to somebody's Facebook page and comment. What an obsessed little jackass clown this guy is. That's the facts, guys. But his name is Tim DeRozan, and he says, there is no point in prosecuting this woman. She is clearly insane. Well, you know what, Mr. Rosen? You're an insane freak moron, quite frankly. And for you Jews out there to consistently try to consolidate or define the reality for us, we're sick of you clowns. I'm serious. The last thing I want to see is some hate-filled bigot like Tim DeRozan. Yeah, that's using their language, everybody, telling me what is and is not acceptable out there. Look, there's nothing acceptable in the Jewish community. They're out there celebrating right now Purim, the mass slaughter of some 85,000 Persians for no other reason than that Jews, people hated the Jews, whatever that's supposed to mean. Don't give us this idea of what's insane, dude. You're sitting there celebrating Purim. You're out there celebrating the mass slaughter of tens of thousands of people, and you're going to tell us you're sane? Are you kidding out of your, are you freaking out of your mind, dude? And it's that way across the entire Jewish spectrum. These guys continue to want to just pop off with a lot of chutzpah, with a lot of gaslighting against us, and we're supposed to actually take these people seriously. No, you need to learn to push back, guys. Put them back into some type of defensive mode. Stop being on the defensive here. Make them go into the defensive mode. Make them support why they are such flaming lunatics within our midst and how they continue to insult and assault us with their stupidity time and time again. They're not smart people, folks. These are idiots. At the bottom end of the spectrum of the human scale, these are idiots. They're not intellectual people by any stretch. Come on, the Committee Against Anti-Semitism, what a bunch of morons. Seriously, you come after me, you want to go complain to my people. You know what? Try to come into certain areas. Maybe we arrest these guys. These guys are clowns. They're disgusting, vile elements of human existence here. They want to sit there and try to oppress the rest of us because what? They're Jews? Well, go back to Israel, dude. Seriously, that's why we all died. That's why our relatives died for you, so you can have your freaking place called Israel. Go. Go get out. That's my observation as an outside observer. And it's not people like Alison Chablot that are promoting hatred. The people that are promoting hatred are this Mr. Silverman who wants to go after me for what? Dude, you want to go after me and you don't think you're not the one promoting hatred? Believe me, dude, you want to go after us professionally. We have every right to find you loathsome and to go after you and to hate you and to do whatever we feel like doing on a rhetorical scale towards you. Because you know what? Who are you to go after us professionally all the time? No, we need to go after these guys professionally. We need to mock them. We need to scoff them. We need to make them feel like outcasts in our own lands so that they get the heck out. And it's a mass consciousness here. It's not like just one person. It's cumulative. It's death by a thousand cuts. Don't keep allowing these people to always be on the offensive. This trial has got to be one of the dumbest, childish things I've ever seen. Really, it is absolutely childish to watch these people operate out there. They actually think that because they're Jews, they can just go ahead and target anybody they want for the dumbest of things. How do you wear stupid on your shoulder? You put a Star of David on your forehead. Is that what Jews are trying to tell us here? Mr. Silverman, if you are listening, and you just might be, because I know you're very obsessed right now with what's going on. Dude, where is that Star of David? Where is that symbol of hatred? Is it on your butt or is it on your forehead? Where is it, dude? See, we don't hate anybody until you start to make a jackass out of yourself and then expect us to tolerate you. That's the problem with the Jewish community right now. They go out of their way, they make complete moronic jackasses of themselves, and then they expect us to just stand by and say, oh, you Jews are just got so much chutzpah. Oh, let me worship your little fingernails because they're worth more than 1,000 of us. No, we get it, everybody. We are really starting to really understand this idea of Jewish hatred for Western civilization. You know, there's lots of comments over the years about Allison. And it's not just Allison. It's about a lot of us out there who discuss a lot of these particular issues. And they always throw out this idea that you hate Jews. And I'm like, okay, well, what's wrong with that? Because what you're telling me is you just made a judgment against me, not knowing me. You're a freaking clown. I said, okay, I hate Jews. So what? Are you telling me you like me? Do you love me? Are you going to worship me tomorrow? Otherwise, you hate me too. So what's the problem with you? Are you trying to tell me that your form of hate is different from my form of hate? Look, finish with these rhetorical games that we see continually being played out there. How they use these words, weaponized words, to put people on the defensive. Look, being antagonistic towards other people is natural. Whether you like to believe it or not, trust me, it's natural. I'll give you an example over here in the Middle East. We have something known as cliques of Somalians out there. You cannot deal with them. You cannot rationalize with them. You cannot even, it's hard to even socialize with them. Do they, who knows? But you know what? There's no reason for me to have to tolerate it. There's no reason for me to kiss up and moo, 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 moo. You guys are all so wonderful. And you know what? They're often scheming against you behind your back. This is normal behavior, folks, within the human scale. Not everybody is enlightened. Not everybody has an open mind that allows them to work transculturally. This is normal. But when you meet particular ethnic groups out there who do go out of their way to target other ethnic groups, then the targeted ethnic group has every right, duty, and obligation to go and defend themselves. That's called human nature. That is what builds nations. That is what keeps different countries always at each other's throats, because their views are such that they are never going to be able to work together. And until they can work through these issues, that's just the way human nature works. It's not for enemies within your midst to define for you what is the moral battleground upon which you will wage your wars. Look, if you're going to wage a war against a quote-unquote a Semitic mindset, understand it's total war 100% of the time. It is total war 100% of the time. That means that they have no morals, they have no values, they have no ethics. It is whatever they can do to win the war. There's no idea of Western chivalry out there. Not that Westerners have been all that chivalrous over their history outside their world, but there is this level still within our mindset of chivalry. It doesn't exist when you're dealing with these Jewish constructions. Look, they're going after a singer, for Christ's sake. A singer who sang a song about a bunch of discredited Holocaust writers who are a bunch of idiots on the scale of human existence here. Come on, Simon Wiesenthal, what a moron. Seriously, his story is pathetic, as are so many of these Jewish, quote-unquote, survivor stories. You know, there's so many groups out there. You have to look, like Rowana is one of the, there's a group out there called Resisting Hate. Here's a dyke. She looks like a dyke. She looks like she's angry. She looks like she has no manners. She looks like she's got the etiquette of a pig. Okay, she's not the most attractive by any stretch. She's the author of a majority of the articles published on a blog on the Huffington Post. So you don't think there's an organized campaign against people that Jews want to target? Come on, wake up, everybody. Of course it's targeted. You can't get 10, 12, 15, 100 different newspapers or periodicals out there to all write the same story if there's not a coordinated effort within the Jewish community to sell the story. Again, here's the genius that Jews have that we do not have, and it's something to keep in mind here. You cannot compete with the amount of cum that these Jewish people can bring out under one instant. Because when you control 1,300 major market publications, you can roll the story out instantly. You coordinate it over all your markets. Everybody gets this impression. You back it up with a bunch of trolls supporting the story, and then everybody is left playing catch up to these bunch of liars in the Jewish community, because that's really what's happening. It literally, that is what's happening. Folks, it's coordinated. So don't worry. If you start to coordinate things, you should coordinate things. People should be aware of just who is Gideon Falter. People should know his face. People should scoff at him in public. Look, this guy doesn't like Western Europeans. He thinks that Europeans should bow down to the state of Israel. And there's no even state of Israel. There are no borders. There are no constitution. So stop saying no more wars for Israel. Just start saying no more wars for Jews, because that's kind of what it means, folks. That's really what is at stake here. Oh, you know, there's been a lot of comments lately about the various Twitter banning, the Twitter blocks. You know, I had sent a message out, and I mentioned this, I believe, Thursday. I'd sent a message recently out to Henrik Palmgren, and that he responded to me. That never came in. And then I saw that somebody had liked the fact that he said, yeah, get in touch with me because we'd like to have Henrik come back and discuss what's happening with Red Ice Television franchise. I've always liked Henrik. He's been a good guy for me. So I've always wanted to have him back. And I never got the response from him. I actually got it from somebody that liked the fact that he had gotten back to me. I didn't know that. Now, the person who liked the fact that he got back to me, that tweet has disappeared. But I've now got the fact that he responded to me a few days later. So it's very bizarre what's happening in the Twitter world. It's very bizarre what's happening in the Skype world. Literally, as we were conducting the interview with Alison Chablot, I'm probably saying that in a gringo way. She's like, man, that's not great. That's not a great pronunciation, dude. But where was I? Yeah, she's Allison, if you're listening, you need to like re-accept my invitation for you because you have your account has blocked me, basically. You blocked me during the interview. Something happened there. I'll tell you. You know, the problem we have right now in the Western world is this idea of a suffocating mentality of the government trying to stifle speech. And it's something that we really have to guard against and to start mounting a counterattack against. Hi, 647, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, Fitch, how are you?
Oh, Bio, how are you?
I'm good. This is Shlomo here.
I'm Shlomo, just you're Shlomo in the chat room?
Yes.
Welcome,
no,
dude.
Shlomo in the chat. Yeah, about Alison Chablot. I have an idea. We should have, because she's a music teacher, we should ban all the piano sales and the violin sales. We should be vetting for those because one day, you know, these guys, they might write a song that's not good for us. Hi, Fitch, I'm just joking.
Say that again. I'm sorry. I was taking care of some issues. Allison was listening. Thank you, Allison. Thank you so much.
We should ban all the music teachers, everybody that wants to buy a violin or a piano or harmonica should be vetted by the Shabbat Leibovitz or the synagogue or by the Jewish community. You know, some days they can be dissidents. That's not good for us.
You know, that's a good point. Maybe instead of having to bring it to trials now, Kabad can already pre-qualify anybody buying license everybody to buy a music.
Yes. It's very dangerous to be a music teacher these days. It's very dangerous for us, you know?
I'll tell you. You know what? But you're up in Canada, aren't you?
I am in the occupied Canada.
It's even worse in Canada. I don't know which one's worse, man, the UK or Canada.
Canada.
I am so blessed to be in the Middle East to where they actually like what I say.
I know that. Fetcho, look, the reason I called today, I have a thing on my mind. It's very strange, all these websites and the YouTube channels are falling like flies, you know? And
right.
What I was thinking, it's impossible for a company, for Twitter, YouTube, to filter all of this day by day, hour by hour, and just shut them down. My thinking is, it's something like, I think it's the AI it's involved here. Somebody on this artificial intelligence. You know, it's a program, it's a computer that goes all over and connects dots, and it's very, very easy for an AI to shut down every channel, every YouTube channel, every YouTube video, every Twitter tweet, and so on, and Facebook posts. And it's impossible for an agency to take care of all of this. It's impossible. I think here it's AI involved. and it might be connected with the unit 8200 from Israel.
Well, yeah.
It might be connected with that.
It is, and what's happened is that the SPLC and ADL have already said that they're involved in actually helping with this.
Yeah,
create this. So essentially what we're finding is that the SPLC and the ADL, at least in America, have gone full in on basically saying, we will tyrannize you Americans. I mean, we're going to tell you what you can read, what you can say, what you can't say, and they're going to take responsible for it. They want to take responsibility for it, and they're very vocal about that. So I think the enemy now has been very – it's not like we're just ranting anymore about Jewish domination. They're bragging about it. So, okay, that takes the idea of being anti-Semitic off the table because we're just raising awareness that Jews hate free speech, and I think that's a very fair statement. And they do not want to hear any free speech. And so we should highlight the fact that the enemy of the American people then are the Jewish people. And they can say, well, Fetch, it's not every. Well, then come on. You know, you guys know how it is. The whites are responsible for this. The whites are responsible. The whites are responsible. So don't tell us we got to change differently for you guys. No, you Jews are now responsible for the growing tyranny in the West. And just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They know they are losing this war, so they unleash the ultimate weapon, the AI, because they don't have the numbers to fight us, you know. For them, it's...
Here's a good point. They do not have the numbers, no. Because now it's no longer...
They don't have the numbers.
We're not organized. And the thing is that we're not organized. It's a leaderless type of revolution when it comes to this information campaign.
Yeah, that's correct.
And we're not even trying to organize. I know my influence goes out, and people will take it, and others are doing theirs, and people will take it. And they can go out and keep targeting people, but it's difficult. You know, and my numbers are so low that probably when it originally hits
What's going to happen in the future if these all the tweets and the website posts and YouTube posts, they are going to fall like flies? You can post something today and in 2 minutes
they're
gone.
Their velocity, though, and their audience reach will continue to fall, which means that it's a catch-22. At some point, they're going to destroy their entire business.
Because the AI is very, very well connected with all these Amazon Alexa boxes and Google boxes. They can hear everything. They can connect phone calls. They can connect web posts and tweets and whatever you speak in the house.
We're going into a break. Thanks for the call. It's a good point, Sarah.
Okay.
Everybody, good call. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Intelligence. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch, man. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. What a kind of a whacked out produced show this was. I keep like forgetting to like cue up the music, and I'm always like a second to 5 seconds late. I got them playing in the wrong order. Hey, what can I say, guys? It's been a long day. You know, I was at that show today, the AFID convention. I had a great show. I met with Boeing, Boeing, Raytheon. I learned, by the way, American General, which is a vehicle manufacturer, it's the owner of this company. It's David Perlman, a Jewish guy, and he met with Prince Sultan bin Prince Mohammed, the Minister of Defense here, and basically it's been kind of hush-hush, but there's going to be $1.5 billion investment. I think the Saudis should get the best of that one. Look, he's a Jewish guy. I don't care. I don't care if the Saudis just take the money. Take it. But yeah, he's going to invest $1.5 billion here. And I'm like, that's a lot of money to be investing in Saudi Arabia, where you've already got a pretty healthy base for making armored personnel vehicles and truck lines, etc. So I'm not sure what's with that, but my hat's off to the Saudis for bringing in the money. There was like talk at the booth, you know, it just goes to show you that certain people don't like to work with other people. And as they were basically saying, how Saudis or Arabs don't like to work with Jews, but when it comes to money, everything is okay. I'm like, well, quite frankly, I don't blame at all. I don't hold them, the Saudis at all, at fault here. Take the money. Why not? That way you Jews can't use it to tyrannize somebody else. So take your money and use it for something good. Why not? Let's see here. What else is news? You know, first of all, again, everybody, just a reminder again, Wednesday, March the 7th, 2018, at the Westminster Abbey Courthouse, I believe it is. And Allison, go back and listen to the segment. I should have written it down while she was telling me. But get out to the courthouse and support. Again, there's going to be about 40 seats inside. If you want to get inside to listen, Allison is going to be on the witness stand. You're going to have these rabidly childish trolls who call themselves Jews, but they're, well, Jews, I guess. Same thing. They're going to be there. You can see who these disgusting people are. You can see their faces, understand, and see. I mean, go see who the enemies of the British people are. Get to know their faces. They're not nameless people at the end of the day, everybody. Go see the faces of those who want to tyrannize you. Don't be afraid of these people. Get out there. Let it be known that you want to stand up for your own rights, for freedom of speech, that you don't appreciate people in certain ethnic communities telling you what you can and cannot say in your own country. It's your country. How do you dare allow these foreign people like this to tell you what you can say or you can't say? Get out there and support your rights. Other people are actually having to go to court, not that they asked for it, but they're having to defend themselves in court just to protect your rights equally, because we know and you know this is a precedent-setting case. Let the public know, let the press know that you're not for this at all. Get out there and support the case, everybody. We are so tired of being on the defensive all the time. Get out there and start to make a push to go on the offensive. That's really important. Again, it's going to be March the 7th, this Wednesday, at the Westminster Abbey Courthouse. Get out there and support Allison and support yourself. More importantly, support yourself, because these are your rights equally. You know, and the idea of Jews going out there and destroying freedom of speech. Look, there is in the New York Senate, in New York, you know, New York, their Senate has revived a new bill, not a new bill, it's revived for the third time here, a bill that would bar the funding of any student organizations involved in quote-unquote hate speech or intolerance. But you and I all know this doesn't target anybody in the Jewish community. It's only targeting those who oppose Israeli and Jewish interest. That's a fact. If you are quote-unquote promoting the boycott of Israeli products or quote-unquote U.S. allies, also you would be barred from receiving funding. Never mind that this is the third year that they brought this up, that they passed it twice. Each time it has died in the Senate or in the Assembly in New York, they still continue to bring it up. What is it about people in the Jewish community that thinks it's okay to impose upon the rest of us a totalitarian style mindset when it comes to the way we want to express our political interests, our political beliefs, our economic interests? This bill would ban public universities from funding not only student organizations that engage in boycotts themselves, which is, of course, activity 100% protected by the American Constitution, the First Amendment, but also bar funding for any organization that so much as dares to express support, that's the wording there, or directly or indirectly promotes, encourages, or permits boycotts of certain nations or intolerance or quote-unquote hate speech. What a bunch of idiots we have running our government institutions right now. What does any of this mean? Why don't you just say, you must bow down and worship Jews and leave it at that? Because you're just doing an end run, but that's what you're saying, guys. Because that is what this is saying at the end of the day. If you don't worship we Jewish people, and do what we tell you to do. We're going to block all the funding, but we're going to take your taxes, and then we're not going to give it back to you in any way in services. That's what they're telling you guys. This isn't rocket science. We've seen this time and time again. Look, their definition of a boycott in this particular bill is so broad, it encompasses literally any activity that will result in any person abstaining from commercial, social, or political relations with any allied nation. What the heck? How stupid do you have to be out there to even consider this type of wording in a law? Seriously. What? I don't like Israeli occupation of Palestine. Well, you know what? You just encouraged someone to boycott Israel. Consequently, we're going to deny you all the funding from the public treasury, even though you're entitled to it because you're a public institution. Are you going to tell me that Jews aren't your enemy then under these conditions? Are you going to tell me like people like the committee or the campaign against anti-Semitism isn't your enemy when it comes to this type of thing going on here? They are your enemy. They've explicitly stated, we are enemies of the British people. That's what they're telling you. They don't have to say it specifically with those words, but they can do it specifically by the way they go about conducting themselves and by the types of actions they put into play. Who are these two clowns to sit there and troll people, three clowns, to troll someone for years and then they want to bring a trial? Really? Really? At some point, folks, you need to be patriotic and stand up. You need to tell these people enough is enough and we're tired of you and your hatred and bring charges against them. Petition your local police. Get these people taken down. It's childish, folks. Seriously, all of this is like the hallmarks of a two-year-old, a five-year-old, or what we would call back in the old days a tattletale. Oh, I'm going to go to mommy and complain about you. But that's the level of intelligence you're dealing with from these Jewish people. How else can you explain it? Come on, you guys. How do you want to explain it? These are adults or kids? They're a bunch of punky little bullying kids. They're not adults. Don't treat them like adults. Why would any government? Come on, the UK. I know you guys are a Zio-Israeli infested cesspit, but are you really bringing trial for something stupid like this? Somebody singing a song? And then you go across the Atlantic, and in New York City, the whole law is basically reviving something about protecting Israel. So, you know, you look at this particular bill being written in New York, to go back to New York City. Well, you can't boycott any member of NATO. You can't boycott any signatory of Southeast Asia Treaty of 1954. You can't boycott any signatory of the Rio Treaty of 1947. You can't boycott Ireland, Israel, Japan, or the Republic of Korea because Israel is not a party to any treaties. Basically, you could boycott all of Africa. You could boycott Saudi Arabia. Why Saudi Arabia? They're our ally. I don't care what you want to say about Saudi Arabia, but they're a primary ally of the United States. They're in there fighting in Yemen right now because the U.S. was too stupid to lose the place. You could boycott Russia, of course. You could boycott Indonesia. But that's it. Oh, you could boycott Sweden. You could boycott Finland. That's right. But that's about it. You could boycott, I think, Venezuela. That's it. Everybody else, it's against the law to boycott in this bill written by probably a bunch of Jewish knuckleheads. The bill... By the way, these guys are such stupid idiots. The whole thing is unconstitutional. Bottom line, going after Alison Chablot would be unconstitutional. Look, the UK has signed up for certain laws that protect the right to freedom of speech. there's absolutely nothing that Allison is doing that does not fall under the regimen of a freedom of speech regimen. So for everything that Jews are doing now, they are the ones violating laws themselves. So who are the real criminals here? Those who simply exercise their freedom of speech, or those who use their ability to lobby institutions to violate the laws of the nation itself? That makes, to me, these people at the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism to be in violation of the laws of this country of England, of the United Kingdom itself. They are guilty of treason and should be treated as that. They are operatives of a foreign power, the state of, or the colony of, international criminal syndicate known as Israel. How else can you describe it? Look, you either have freedom of speech or you don't. Look, if you're going to go after people who target people, why haven't the people gone after, meaning the Crown prosecution, gone after those who harassed and trolled Alison Chablot for years and years and years? 808 Free and Awake. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Kangaroo Court readings. I hear an echo.
Kangaroo Court it is, man. Well, you know, maybe because I'm just too close to the microphone.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the Jews have weaponized our judicial system against us.
Well, they have certainly, and that's been the case everywhere they go. They've done that in every nation where they've risen to power, so it doesn't surprise me that they would do it in the modern era.
Yeah, and become so bold, so blatant in their objections.
Well, it is. That's
they don't
the
even try to mask it.
This is, they're not even masking it anymore. They're just right out in the open. They would never have dared to do this in the 1970s.
Yeah. Incrementalism.
But yeah, now they've got enough idiots bred inside the education system and even into the lower 20s workforce to where they are able and capable of doing it now and have some political cover. Our job is to destroy that political cover.
Right. Exposing the hypocrisy.
Well, just exposing the hypocrisy, but creating the political will to combat and to rise up and stand against it. And honestly, people are.
Right. Like in Allison's case, this is an opportunity to push back and reverse this trend.
Did you follow any of this latest work in the movies, like the Black Panther movie and the Black Panther agenda?
I got the plot line. It was discussed at work, and generally people like it. But it does bring some parallels as far as discrimination. It's an all-black cast for the most part. Let's see. They have constructed a wall around the village similar to Trump's wall to protect America's southern borders, right? So how do you deal with the hypocrisy, right? If you're on the left, there's no hypocrisy.
Yeah, it's just we're stupid every day and – it's just you can take that to the bank, you know, in the old days. So no idea about any agenda with this Black Panther. Do you find any agenda hidden in it? Anything like that?
Well, other than the obvious, right? The contempt for the mainstream, our values, traditional values, right? While they project onto us the qualities that they have, such as discrimination, as I pointed out, right? Now, if it were reversed and you had an all-white cast or an all-Jewish cast, well, maybe that can happen. But you can see that they're not consistent, right? If it's their doings, it's okay. If there are people they are opposed to are doing it, then it's not okay, right?
Where do you think Hollywood's headed now? With these types of movies, are they writing their death knell?
I think they're disintegrating, bitch. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually that would be a good thing.
I think
so. I mean, they don't seem to be able to connect anymore with mainstream America, that's for sure. They're burning bridges faster than they can build them.
Right. Ratings are plummeting for all of these award shows. I think they've lost their magic, you know, their luster. Hollywood myth, you know, a lot of exposure on many levels.
I think it's really
human trafficking.
And the human trafficking and the the pedophilia, but I think also what's happened is that they misread the connection between star power and political projection.
Right, or hypnotism, because they had a hypnotic trance over America, or the world for that matter. Hollywood was very influential, right? It shaped our culture, shaped our beliefs, it informed us. But we found out that Hollywood wasn't all it was cracked up to be, right? They don't mirror our values.
No, you know,
the
they
deeper
really
levels. Yeah, so that's the problem. And more and more people are realizing that. So, yeah, I predict they're on the decline. Maybe it'll reverse if they go back to a more traditional stance. But I don't know.
Yeah, but I think even then they've pissed off enough people to where they're just not going to go back.
Yeah. Well, maybe our generation and, you know, but maybe the younger generation might revive it, change it in some way. But our generation won't accept it for sure.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I watched a movie.
Yeah,
and even
same here.
The ones I watched were kind of stupid.
Yeah, yeah. The more you're exposed to the truth, the less magic and control these Hollywood movies and their offerings have over you, right? Because you can see right through the deception. So yeah, that would summarize the Black Panther movie as well. It's just more of the same kind of divisive, agenda-driven movies that they threw out for us. Mm-hmm. What have you heard about it, Fitch?
Absolutely nothing. That's
nothing
what I'm asking.
At all. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing.
But
because over here, all I heard was that it opened to record-breaking numbers and it's a big hit, and that's about all.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Generally, people like it, but I haven't seen it yet. Doesn't mean I won't, but you know, I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it unless it comes out in a way that allows me to watch it without any commercials.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, sometimes. Are you still there, Fitch?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I heard a drop out or something. Sometimes it's good to go to a movie just to decode it, right? To analyze it, to kind of see what the.
Well, I'm not going to get paid to do that. They can pay me to go do
they
that.
They can pay you to analyze.
Yeah, why would I pay them to analyze their movie? They can pay me and I'll go analyze it for them.
Yeah, well, it might be. it might be in your best interest.
Yeah, pay me and I'll go.
Yeah, well, actually, I just watch them on Netflix, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing now, rather than actually going
Netflix?
To a movie. It varies. They pay about, like, 15 a month. U.S. dollars, so
yeah,
it's not bad.
You know, I was sitting, in a class the other day, and they said, "Hey, Dennis, what's the matter with America?" And I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you guys keep talking about this Holocaust." I said, "Well, not us. That's this Jewish thing." And they said, "Yeah, it sounds stupid." Says, "Because I was like, I was in America, and I was sitting in a class when he was going to college there." And he said, "There was actually a Holocaust class, and I took it, but I had my calculator, and I started to do all the math calculation." I said, "Nothing added up." I said, "Yeah, it's kind of like there's six million. Nothing ever adds up."
Right, it's a repeated meme, right, throughout Jewish
history. Yeah, he said nothing. He said, "Because I don't even know why you Americans keep giving Jews this time of day. Nothing adds up. It's got to be," he says, "it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You start running the math." He said, "It can't be true. It's just dumb." He said, "It's like you guys believe in Santa Claus visits everybody's house on Christmas morning. It, at some point, you got to grow up and realize the numbers don't add up."
Well, it's not just America. Europe, too, apparently, right? That explains Allison's dilemma, why she's being persecuted.
Yeah.
You know, so, this fostering of the Holocaust myth, right?
Yeah,
all the implications.
Yeah, it's gotten so bad now that Jews are teaching the Holocaust in their colleges,
yeah,
to foreign students. And then the foreign students just come back and say, "What a bunch of idiots Americans are, and what a bunch of idiots Jews are for even talking about it like that." It's like, how stupid are Jews to talk like this? It doesn't add up.
Right. If you do, and do the logistics alone, don't seem to support, you know, the claim, right? And apparently there weren't even 6 million Jews in all of Europe at the time anyway.
There weren't, and actually there weren't. And the numbers increased by about 1 million over the time of 12 years. So it's like, how did that all happen?
Right, right. Exactly. So, and the population stabilized after the war, but apparently 6 million of them died. So I don't know. Like you said, the math, just there's this endless discrepancies, inconsistencies you could point out.
Yeah.
But what's do you dare to do that?
What's your opinion? Just get your voice out there since you call often about what needs to be done to Twitter, YouTube, Facebook when it comes to their censorship.
It needs to be put on hold. It needs to be stopped. And you know what? They need to be regulated in some form or fashion because they are operating on a public utility platform. And a lot of the research that went into creating these internet communication platforms was done through public funding, right? So we have a we are stakeholders and we have a vested interest, and
I agree our voices should be heard. Yeah, all this technology wasn't done by them. I mean, they're working over technology that we, the people, built with our taxes.
Right. So there's a quid pro quo. There's a responsibility, you know, and all voices should be heard. You know, even the people that are opposed to me, right? So I want to play by the same rules. I don't want to ban people that disagree with me. I don't care if you are allowed to oppose me.
Let them. Yeah. I think in free flow of ideas, they can't compete.
Right. And that's the critical difference. They don't want opposing views, right?
They can't stand it. They're doing it in a way that's harmful to the public. That's the worst part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their actions are motivated to harm the public interest.
Exactly. Right. So it should not be done. Right. And there needs to be a regulatory body or agency or some group of laws. Or at least a place to redress your grievances.
Yeah,
but like your caller said, it's AI control. Now, isn't that interesting?
Say that again?
It's AI control, the software that's shutting down these massive amounts of sites on YouTube and on Twitter. No traditional business entity could do that without the help of an AI. They would spend all their time policing and not being productive, right? Mm.
You know, today's a very important day in Saudi history. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yes, it's a very big day in Saudi history. This is the day in 1938 that oil was discovered here.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Lawrence of Arabia kind of.
Yeah, Lawrence of Arabia. Yeah. So basically, this was a big day, you know, marching bands and people. That's not why. It was because of the defense project. But yeah, today was it's the day. That's right.
How about that? Well, I'd like to send my hearty regards to the Saudi people.
Yeah, they need all the help they can get sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, what else is news, man? We got about 2 minutes. We're going to be off the air. How's the surf over there?
Surf is great. Hope to go check it out soon.
Do you surf?
No, I boogie board. I can't stand up.
Boogie board's enough, man. Boogie boarding's enough. I'm the same way. I can never stand up.
Yeah. I just have to learn, put myself, you know, apply myself.
My age now, I'd probably just fall over and break my neck.
Yeah, there you go. I'd leave it to the younger crowd.
Yeah, I'm an athlete, but, you know, the body just don't move the way it used to. Yeah. Boogie board, I could boogie board still, no problem. I'm in good enough shape to boogie board. Yeah.
You might want to try, they have this surfboard stand-up surfing where you use a paddle and you go out, you know. So that's kind of fun.
Why would I want to have a paddle with me?
It's just kind of serene, kind of relaxing, kind of a fun thing to do.
A lot of the older crowd does that. So instead of your canoe, you take your or your kayak, you take your surfboard?
Yeah, you go out and you paddle.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun, man. All right, well, 808, thanks for the call. We're out of time, everybody.
Okay, Fetch.
That's the Fetch again. Get out there Wednesday, March 7th, to the Westminster Abbey Courthouse. Talk to you again Thursday for Inside the Eye Live Primetime.